Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Being a Christian is about relationship. It's about a relationship with the living God. When you think of biblical Christianity, when you think of true Christianity, it hinges on a theology of presence. It hinges on a theology of the presence of God. The Lord has just this amazing desire to reveal himself, spoken of in Isaiah 65, seen supremely in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has come and dwelt amongst us. He's tabernacled amongst us. The Lord does reveal himself. And he reveals himself generally to the whole world in creation, but he particularly, specially reveals himself to those who are bonded to him, to those who walk in fellowship with him. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? He reveals his heart. He reveals his thoughts. He reveals his purposes. But he's invisible. But he can be felt. He can be heard. He can be seen. Sometimes this happens by a manifest visitation of the Lord. You see this recorded all the way through biblical history. Sometimes it's by what we might think of as effect. Think of John 3 in describing the work of the Holy Spirit. It's like a wind. You can't see the wind, can you? But you know it's the wind because you see the effect. If we strip away experiencing God, if we strip away the fact that God is a revealing God, you're left with a very unattractive parcel. It's called religion. It might have some helpful ethics, some helpful instructions, but it's powerless. Powerless. The authority, the ultimate authority on the revelation of God is in fact the Word of God. And it's actually in Scripture itself which we see, and it spells out the various ways that God chooses to reveal himself. We've looked at some of these, haven't we, as we've gone through this series. He reveals himself in the workings of miracles. He reveals himself in healings. He reveals himself in dreams and visions, prophesied. It certainly happened in the Old Testament, but particularly prophesied by the prophet Joel and then spoken of as a fulfillment on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. He reveals himself in the prophetic word. Indeed, he reveals himself in all of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Next week we're going to be returning to 1 John. We'll be in chapter 4 from verse 7 on, after our little excursion on releasing spiritual gifts. And in that passage next week at verse 17, we see that the church, the whole church, and we see therefore Deep Creek is actually called to further the revelation of God in this world. If that excites you, that we at Deep Creek, our calling is to further the revealing of God throughout the globe. And in fulfilling our calling, don't be surprised, in fact, be delighted that you'll see demonstrations of God's power and that you'll see demonstrations of his glory. I don't know, when you hear the word glory, what comes to your mind, but the passage that always comes to mind is that one in Exodus 33. It's gone and been a disaster. Moses has been up on the mountain. The people just spit the dummy. And then there's interaction between Moses and the Lord and Yahweh. And in that interaction, God defines his glory as his character and his nature as it is expressed in his names. So do you remember that? It's like the glory of the Lord passes by Moses And God proclaims his compassion. He proclaims his grace. He proclaims his abounding love, his willingness to forgive, his perfect justice. So how does God reveal his glory in the world? In Scripture, there are, for those who love numbers, I don't, right? The rest of what I say this morning is true. In Scripture, oh, come on, wake up! Yes! There are 18 categories of instances where the glory of God is mentioned. 18. By far the largest category of where the glory of God is mentioned is in miracles and healings. Where God's glory is connected, and this, which, so we've got 18, there's 18 categories, and within the largest category, there's 30 times where God's glory is connected with a demonstration of his power through the working of signs, wonders, and miracles. What does all that mean for us? It means that the main way, not the only way, but the main way that God reveals his glory is actually through signs and wonders and miracles. And that's what we've been looking at in many of these weeks as we've gone through this series. And praise the Lord how, I think, I know from just interactions how the Lord has touched the hearts right across the church from 8 through 10 in our evening congregation. If you've got Across the Creek there, please grab it and take it home with you. In the pastor's inbox, there's a quote from a tremendous book entitled There Is More, The Secret to Experiencing God's Power to Change Your Life. And you'll see there in the pastor's inbox these words, there is more. There's more. This more is the reality of God drawing near, of rending the heavens, of coming down. It's the difference between times of revival and times of decline in the church. Revivals are led by people who have been touched by the more. Whether that experience is described in the language of entire consecration, sanctification, or baptism in the Spirit, periods of revival are characterized by people who believe the life they are living and the things that the church is experiencing are beneath what is possible and available in God. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. It's like, there must be more for me individually, for us. This belief that there is more and more available and that the Lord graciously wants to pour it out causes them to seek, and I pray causes us to seek, an impartation of, what's the word? More. What's this more? Well, it's more love for God, and it's more love for humankind. It's more power, it's more anointing, it's more joy, it's more burden for the lost. It's more revelation from God about the needs of others. It's more conviction over sin. That is, it's a path of holiness. More faith in prayer, more conversions, more gifts, more healings, more deliverances, more churches planted. More of the culture being leavened by the kingdom of God. Does it grab you? Or do you think you got it all? A church on fire for the Lord, operating in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. A church of this size being used extensively in breadth and depth to bring transforming love into such a broken world. The essence of the kingdom of God, as we've talked about at numerous times, is power. That's not my view. That's what the Holy Spirit says in Scripture. The essence of the kingdom of God is power. It's the power of God. And so today we come together as a church body, as a family. We do it corporately and also individually, and we ask the Lord to impart to us his anointing in spiritual gifts. I hope you're glad you're here. I hope you come with an expectation. We're asking the Lord to impart to us His anointing in spiritual gifts. A powerful impartation produces fruit for the kingdom of God. Indeed, again, the Holy Spirit tells us in Scripture, it's not a matter of talk. I mean, there is talk. But it's actually about a demonstration of power. In the book of Hebrews and Gerhard, we've had a lovely time, haven't we, journeying through Hebrews in our Saturday club twice a month. I reckon probably the second most difficult book in the New Testament after Revelation. But I love it. It just pulls together so many beautiful themes and weaves them together from the old into the new. Get to chapter 6. And Paul is the writer of the Hebrews is encouraging these believers to move on into maturity. But he actually reminds them what the foundations are. And in those first couple of verses at the beginning of chapter 6 of Hebrews, we're told that the laying on of hands is foundational for the Christian. That is elementary teaching of the apostolic church. So he's just taking this for granted, like this laying on of hands and impartation of the Spirit as we do that. Yep, this is foundational. Now come on, guys, let's move on. Let's get off the milk and let's start chewing. Let's move on to maturity. In both the Old and the New Testament, you see this principle of a person receiving an anointing from God. Now that anointing could be a gift, spiritual gift. It could be spiritual gifts, plural. It could be a filling of the Holy Spirit, especially for power, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we finish off in 1 John and do a four-week series on God is good, 1 week I'm going to speak on that, on filling and baptism. It's such an important emphasis for New Covenant believers. So you see this receiving an anointing from the God in gifts and gifts, in a filling of the Spirit. Perhaps when you think of this word impartation, think of transference of the anointing. When God interacts with His people, we often see that this anointing comes through the laying on of hands. But you need to be students of the Word, because it's not the only way the anointing comes. Because also in Scripture you see that this anointing of the Lord comes by His people who wait on Him in prayer. Remember, we've looked at that passage once or twice through the series on Acts 4. It's such a monumental passage. This guy's just been healed at Gate Beautiful. Sanhedrin has gone into a hissy fit. And the people are gathered in that room and they're praying and they're waiting on the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes. And comes in great power. And they're given a boldness. They're gifted. They're given an anointing to go and proclaim the Gospels and to demonstrate the Gospels through miracles and signs and wonders, because that's an integral part of the Gospel. In the passage that Judy read to us, the first one was from Numbers 11. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come down to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you." Hear this, the Lord says, "I will come down and speak with you there. I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and I'll put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you won't have to carry it alone." Now in that passage, you don't see a mention of laying on of hands. But what you do see is this concept of a transference of the anointing from Moses to the 70 elders. But what I really want you to see there, this is all of God. This is not man-made. I will come down. I will transfer from you to them to empower them for service. Deuteronomy 34. "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom." Because, why? Because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Joshua receives, or he's filled with the spirit of wisdom through what mechanism? Because God's servant Moses comes and lays hands on him And you'll all remember the famous story, maybe not the exact reference, but it's in 2 Kings 2, where Elijah's anointing is transferred to his spiritual son, Elisha. That's just a handful of examples in the Old Testament. What about in the New Testament? In the New Testament, this laying on of hands, which is regarded as foundational by the writer to the Hebrews, it's used for three things. It's used for an act of ordination. We've practiced this many times in the church, haven't we? Someone has been commissioned to service. Our dear Ruth, when she went away to Kavuli, we laid hands on her. Pray for Ruth, uphold her as she ministers over there. Pray for a project leader to come into Kavuli. Pray for wisdom for all of those people involved. But we commissioned her as we've commissioned so many people over the years. So it can be a laying on of hands and the person is being ordained. Laying on of hands for healing, laying on of hands for blessing, and laying on of hands for impartation. An example of the first one. Do you remember when the deacons are chosen at that time in Acts 6? So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Well, the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, and Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, and what did the apostles do? They prayed and they laid hands on them. And then in 1 Timothy 4 and 1 Timothy 5, you see the example similarly with Timothy. I want you to get this. It's not just a ritual. It's not just going through some motions. There are occasions when the Holy Spirit comes and imparts gifts and empowers believers. As Randall and I were ordained as Anglican ministers, you come and you kneel, having gone through the vows, and bishops and clergy will come, fellow clergy, and come and lay hands. It's a very moving experience, isn't it? It's a beautiful experience. It goes all the way back to this apostolic teaching. My prayer is that this will just become part of us. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. It's going, this is foundational stuff. When people are being commissioned for service. But you see this laying on of hands for healing and blessing. Judy, in that second... Where's Judy? Hi, Judy. In that second reading, we see Jesus laying hands on the children. Such a beautiful passage. We don't know in that case whether it was for blessing or healing or both, but we do know other instances, like in Mark 10, verse 16, where he lays hands on for blessing. We know instances like in Mark 5, 23, where he lays hands on for healing. Now, the Lord healed in so many different ways, didn't he? It's like, go and get some mud, rub it in his eye. Lots of different ways, but you see again and again a really strong connection between the laying on of hands and healing. You see the disciples doing this. You see Paul doing it in Acts 28. Indeed, Paul himself in Acts 19, Saul of Tarsus, hands were laid on him by Ananias for his healing, and I think also at that time for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. So, this is just the way we operate as the body of Christ. We lay hands, we call on the Lord to come. In commissioning people, in empowering them, in gifting them for service, for healing, for blessing, and this third category of impartation. Right through Scripture, we see impartations for gifts of the Spirit, and also for being filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. For the moment, don't worry about the terminology of filled versus baptized. Of just this, think of maybe just soaking in the Holy Spirit. Now, you will see instances through the book of Acts where people are filled with the Spirit without any mention that hands were laid on. There's, I've got in my notes, at least three occasions, Pentecost, Acts 4, Acts 10. But there are also accounts where the Holy Spirit or gifts of the Spirit are imparted through the laying on of hands. Acts 8, Acts 19. Timothy, fan into flame those gifts that were given to you through the what? Do you remember? The laying on of hands. So we could perhaps sum it up this way. For Paul, for Timothy, for Peter, for John, and by logical inference, the entire early Christian church, the impartation of anointing through the laying on of hands was an important catalyst for effective ministry, characterized by the manifest presence of God and for operating in the complete gifts of the Holy Spirit. Friends, it was this first church. It was small, it was poor, and it was despised. And it changed the world. So, family, how's your spiritual hunger? How's our spiritual hunger? Do we desire more? Do we desire a greater and greater love for the Lord? Greater and greater love for all of mankind? You might just close your eyes as I just ask these questions. Just let the Spirit do a heart check with you. Are we eagerly desiring the gifts of the Spirit? They're good gifts because they're given by a good God and they're powerful gifts. Do we desire more power? The power of the Lord manifests through us. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. More anointing, more gifts, more faith in prayer, more healings, more miracles in such a broken world. More deliverances, people just being freed from the chains of oppression and bondage. Do we desire more words, more revelation from the Lord? Just the beauty of words of knowledge in every station of life. Lord, speak to me. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic words. Do we desire more discernment of spirits? So that we have a better understanding of what's happening in the spiritual realm. Do we desire a deeper and a deeper intimacy with the Lord through the beauty of the Lord giving us our own private prayer language? It's a great thing, isn't it? Paul desires that all of the believers would prophesy. Paul desires that all of the believers would have that gift. Is that our hunger? Do we desire a greater accuracy in the public interpretation of tongues so the tongues are actually lifted up to that same level of a prophetic word in building up and encouraging the body? As I put these words in that pastor's inbox, I think these words are very pertinent to Anglican ministry, but not just to Anglican ministry, but it's very pertinent to Anglican ministry because there's 100 years of transition, of history, of tremendous teaching colleges that tend to have very talented teachers. And of course, my next comment doesn't include Randall and me, but actually very capable people. And that's good, and we ought to praise the Lord for that. but there's a risk in it. We may be well trained to do church work, to run committees, to preach or teach, administrate, to counsel, all through our education. But that is not the same as the ability to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and preach with an anointing that breaks down hard hearts with such conviction that people are brought to the Lord Jesus. These things need the anointing, the grace, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to ask the Lord for now as a church and for us as Sunday at 10. Can I encourage you to stand with me? I'm going to pray. And I just, before I do that, just encourage you, let's just take a moment of silence, just prepare your heart before the Lord. Might ask the Lord to take whatever baggage there is and obstructions and hindrances in your life and go and take them to the cross so that nothing gets in the way of being touched by the Lord. And I'm going to pray for us. Lord, create right now in each person present here and those who hear these words over the recorded message on the internet. Lord, create a hunger for more. More of an impartation of your Spirit and your gifts. Lord, create faith in each of us to receive gifts through impartation and to receive a new and stronger filling of your Spirit through impartation. I ask this in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare your our living hope, your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetness of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, remember the words, you're welcome here. Is this the prayer of your heart? Come, flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let's sing together.
Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. the glory of your goodness. Let us be calm, more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us be calm, more aware.
And this is our, just as family, this is our opportunity to come and receive prayer. To receive prayer for an impartation of gift or gifts. I'm confident you've been praying and seeking the Lord on this. To come and receive greater activation of an existing gift. To come to be touched by the Holy Spirit, to be filled with His presence, to come for healing, to come for blessing. That's a pretty comprehensive list, isn't it? Eh? For gifts to be imparted, for existing gifts to be activated, to be touched by the Lord, to be blessed. For the Lord to work powerfully, perhaps in our inner person, perhaps in our body. So it'll just be an invitation. This is family, it's safe. So just to come forward for prayer. There'll be a few of us here just to pray. But I don't want you to feel sort of human compulsion in this, but I do want you to respond to the Lord. You might want to just sit for a little while and wait in His presence. You might actually want someone just to come and pray with you where you're sitting. But as the Lord prompts you to actually move, come forward for prayer. The Lord's deepest desire is to give good gifts to His children. His heart's desire is for us as a church and for each of us individually to enjoy Him, to experience more of Him, more of His presence. Please don't let the fear of man obstruct. Don't let the flesh rise up. Don't let the lies of the enemy hold you back. Come to the Lord, the source of living water. I'm going to pray for us again and then just invite. There won't be another formal close of our time together. So people will just drift on out as you need to. But family, let's take this opportunity. The Lord's desire is to impart to us His anointing in special ways. And so as I pray, again, just it's symbolically of our heart before the Lord, you just might want to have your hands out, your palms raised just to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would meet the faith and hunger of each one. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I ask for your Holy Spirit's fire to come upon them. I ask that you would release your compassion, that you would release your love into their hearts right now. I ask that you would especially impart the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians 12. Lord, as each one waits in your presence, with hands outstretched, with palms raised, I ask that your power would touch these hands, that you would multiply your power, that you would increase your power, that you would baptize your people in your Holy Spirit, and you'd fill each one with the peace of the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it. Amen. So be it. And we're just going to have some light worship music playing in the background. So take the opportunity just to respond to the Lord as he prompts you. And it'll be a great privilege to pray with you.